This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. For the first time, astronomers have discovered a new solar system with a cluster of seven Earth-like planets orbiting a single star. Earlier today, Sarah Seeger, professor of planetary science and physics at MIT, spoke at a NASA press briefing.
With this discovery, we've made a giant accelerated leap forward in the search for habitable worlds and life on other worlds.
Joining me to talk about the significance of this is Kelly Beatty, a senior editor at Sky and Telescope. And although based in Cambridge, he is joining us from Washington, D.C. Kelly, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much, Deb.
So why is this discovery important?
Wow, there's a long list. I mean, you know, planets around other stars is nothing new, even multiple planets. We know of stars with four, five, six planets around them. Now, the thing is, often those stars are quite variable in their intensity. You know, it's not a pleasant place to be. And the planets themselves can be really large and gassy and like the size of Jupiter, and we really are not that invested in them in terms of finding something that's like Earth. There are a couple of things special about this system. First of all, there are seven planets, all of which are about the size of Earth or Venus. That's a plus right there. And because they're in tight orbits, they kind of nudge each other in gravitational waves that are diagnostic. And we can tell that they're probably all rocky as well. So that's like two big checks in the Earth-like planet box. And finally, at least three of these planets, and maybe as many as six of them, are in a zone of temperature around their star where water, if it's there, could be in liquid form. And, of course, that's a biggie in terms of thinking of the possibility of life on these places.
Right. That's always the question. So right now it looks like water might be there, but that would require further testing?
Yeah. So we don't know anything about the composition of these planets, whether there's water there, whether there's atmospheres there. That's just, you know, they've just recently been discovered. It's important to note that this particular star, which is known as TRAPPIST-1, was already known to have two or three planets around it last year. And so the team that made that discovery followed up with NASA's Spitzer Space Telescope, an orbiting observatory, and it was able to make incredibly detailed observations. And the way these planets were discovered is they pass in front of the star and momentarily cause that star to dim. So we know how big the planets are, we know what their orbits are, and because we know how hot the star is, we can calculate what the temperatures on the surfaces are.
So they're described as Earth-like, but all you really know is that they're rocky. Is that enough to call them Earth-like?
And they're the size of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And the important thing here, Deb, is that, you know, up until this point, we've been looking for planets a lot around stars like the Sun, because that's what we know and love, right? But it turns out that this type of star, which is called a dwarf, an M dwarf, it's maybe not really much bigger than the size of Jupiter. It's far, far dimmer, not nearly as hot, only a few thousand degrees instead of 10,000 degrees. And if you run the simulations, the kinds of planets that form around dwarf stars are more likely to be small and rocky, not giant Jupiters. And so there's been a kind of shift in the thinking of astronomers looking for these planets, that maybe we ought to be looking around these dwarf stars more. And in fact, it's paid off tremendously. Hmm. One other thing is that this particular star is only 39 light years away. And that makes it relatively close, so that some future technology like the James Webb Space Telescope, which is due to be launched next year, can potentially pick off the individual planets in this system and study them one at a time.
And what would be some of the main things you would like to learn from studying this new system?
All right. So a real biggie would be, do they have atmospheres? This system is clustered so tightly around its star. All these planets orbit so close that a year on them is anywhere from a day and a half to 12 days. So like the planets go around in at most 12 days around this star. And because of that, they're probably locked in much of the same way that the Moon is locked in its orbit around the Earth, so that one side of them faces the star all the time. That means that one side's going to be hot and the other's going to be cold all the time, unless there's an atmosphere. If there's an atmosphere, that gives us the potential to kind of, you know, even out the temperature around the planet and maybe make it more tolerable overall.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Wow, I think that people are really excited about this because, you know, we have been, this is really kind of the holy grail for exoplanet searches, finding a system of planets that are like our own. And the fact that we have found one and it's so close by and there's nothing special about it opens the door for the possibility that there are thousands, maybe millions, right, within reach of our telescopes.
Right. That's what I was thinking, that perhaps, you know, what you're hoping here is that you may have found a way to perhaps locate other similar systems, and they may be more common than you thought at first, right?
Absolutely. These M dwarfs are by far the most common type of star in our solar system. I mean, our sun is technically a dwarf star, but these are much, much smaller and much more common.
So
this is the place to go panning for gold, if you will, when it comes to exoplanet science right now.
So how long would it take before you might get some conclusions, do you think, from looking at this very close by new system?
Yeah, you know, the technology is evolving. As I said, the James Webb Space Telescope will be very useful once it's launched. It's looking mostly at infrared wavelengths, heat wavelengths, and that will be very useful in terms of trying to determine whether these have atmospheres or not. And from there, we might try to understand what the composition is. We can do that from afar. We can tell what kinds of rocks, we can tell what kinds of gases, and we can definitely tell whether there's water or not. So these are the kind of the next steps. I think the notion of, like, is there life on these planets is really a long ways in the future.
All right. Kelly Beatty, senior editor at Cambridge-based Sky and Telescope magazine, thanks very much for being with us today.
My pleasure, Deb. Thank you so much.